Good morning. Can you get a Lord hand clap this morning? Amen. God is good. Amen. I know I serve a great God. And here's what I want to do. I'm going to say this. Here's the deal. We're going to start believing God for some miracles. Amen. We're going to believe God for a breakthrough. Amen. We're going to believe that God is going to do something supernatural here in Lakeview, in Evans, in Orchard Park. We're going to believe and start praying this in. Amen. I believe, I've been saying this, that it's just really time for the church to rise up and to be a strong community that's impacting outside its four walls. And so I'm excited, and I want you to be a part. I want you to pray that during the week, that we can reach the multitudes with the kingdom. I've been preaching a series on the lifestyle of a radical. And a radical is someone who's extreme. You know any radicals? Anyone grew up in the 60s? Y'all know radicals, right? Some wore tie-dyes, some wore long robes and handed out flowers, whatever. The church is being called to become radical again. It's being called to take back what is rightfully theirs. And it's about believers that understand that and are willing to become extreme, passionate, uncompromising their faith, uncompromising their walk, and releasing what Jesus wants them to release. That was the first message. But understand this. I preface everything in that message saying that when you do that, your faith will come under attack. But because of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in you, when your faith comes under attack through difficulties, through delays, through those things that we're facing, God's got our back. We may not see him working on the front side. Realize he's working on the back side, wrapping himself around to the front side. And then we talked about how a radical is one who, we all carry a bag. And that bag is full of things. And we're called to receive what God is saying to us. It was called receivers and releasers. What are we releasing to other people? What are we releasing into the lives of other people? What's in our bag? And I wore a messenger bag, and I said that we need to have God fill it with those things that are needed for us because we're all different. And so then we release it to wherever we be. And God's calling for us. And I said that it's not easy, but it is easy. It's difficult at first. And things are happening. Jackie shared with me this morning. She goes, about 7:05, she's like, Pastor, I got to tell you something. I'm like, what? She goes, I led someone to the Lord the other day. Come on, someone clap. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's a great thing. That's a God thing. She was extreme. She was passionate. She has an intern who was working with her, and they just began to talk about Jesus. And she basically questioned her and says, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you want to pray that prayer with me? And she led her to the Lord. That's radical. What did she do? She realized she needs to be passionate and on fire. She realized that God has given her stuff for her bag to use to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Her gifts and tools is her ability to be a groomer, dogs, cats, whatever types of animals that she grooms. So she's in her field using her talents, but releasing it as a radical of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? And so you too can be that way. And that's what God's called the church to do. So I want to challenge you today again. And I want to challenge you with a message that you don't want to hear. You don't want to hear this message at all. Because I want to talk to you about money. There you go. I lost half of you. I'm going to talk to you about money today. Who loves money? I love money. Who loves money? I don't love money like above God and everything else, but who likes to have some money in their pocket? Little change in your pocket going jing-a-ling-a-ling. Little 80s reference there for you metal people from the 80s. Right? We love to talk about money and investments and how much we made on our 401ks and when we're investing. We don't have a problem talking about money outside the church. We get in church and the pastor says money, we all get angry. Our butts tighten up in our seats and we get all like weird. Oh, no. Our hands clench. We grab our wallets. We grab our purses. We're like, not today. I'm not going to preach you a prosperity message. I'm not going to tell you write a bigger check and you'll be blessed. But I'm not going to talk about that stuff. I'm not going to say the more you give, you'll get furs and boats and cars and all that other stuff. No, I'm not, because you know what? I'm not going to do that. But what I'm going to do today is I'm going to teach you a biblical principle on giving and investing in the kingdom of God. Amen? So now you all can be at ease. Woo! I'm not going to have another offering. I'm not going to do that. But I need to talk about this. Because if we're going to have a firm foundation in our Christianity and our walk as believers, we need to understand the importance of giving and investing in the kingdom of God. Giving of our time, of our talent, and of our tithe. Amen? Time, talent, tithe. Three T's. We need to talk about it. I'm going to teach you a biblical principle that will change your life. It changed my life. Because I was taught this biblical principle from Bishop Tom and Shirley. It changed their... I didn't know this as a kid growing up. At one point, we had nothing. But we didn't know we had nothing because they were givers. And while they were continually giving, people were giving into them in the midst of transition from being a police officer to a pastor. And so it's a principle that if we're going to have a foundation on Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ, we need to understand how to give and how to be investors in the kingdom of God and in other people's lives. Amen? You with me today? All right, I said all that. Now we're good. Now let the offense begin. No, I'm beginning. I believe it. I believe it's important that we talk about this because the give means that we're going to freely transfer possession of something to somewhere else or to someone else. When I invest, I'm devoting my time, my effort, my money, my energy to a particular undertaking with the expectation that something is going to happen, something's going to begin to open up and be released. Now, when you invest in your stocks, you believe that at some point there's going to be release, right? Right? You do. When we invest, see, I'm going to talk to you today about investing, but it's sowing and reaping. What the seeds we sow, they're earmarked for a harvest. They're earmarked for a return. We need to understand that. And God talks about it through the Old Testament and into the New Testament about giving and being generous and tithing. And some people say, well, you know, the tithe, you know, the Old Testament and that's Old Covenant. But Jesus came to fulfill the law. And in Genesis, I believe the 15th chapter, Abraham tithed off the first part of his harvest to begin with back in Genesis. So we can't pick and choose what's Old Testament or not Old Testament, because if we want to say that, then I want to say this. Then if we're going to say that tithing was only Old Testament, then the Ten Commandments are only Old Testament. So should we stop killing? Should we start killing people? Should we start coveting? Should we start... Let's be honest. Let's be real today. So we can get in that whole debate, because that's where, because we talk money, so we try to find a loophole that says, oh, but this and that and this and that. And I've had these conversations with God, I've had them with other people, and they lead to nowhere. All I know is that it's a biblical principle, what I sow is what I reap. And God says to bring your tithe into the storehouse, joyfully, cheerfully before him, letting go, not holding on, gripping it. And in there, there's blessing. In there, there's a harvest. In there, the field ripens with what you planted. You plant bad seed, you get bad harvest. You plant good seed, you get good harvest. Trust me. I told you my story of my garden, didn't I? I thought I was going to grow this amazing garden when my kids were little. I live in a development, and I'm going to grow this garden in my backyard. But my philosophy was, I don't want to put it in the middle of my lawn. You guys know me about my lawn. I'm like, we'll just put it up close, like where the shrubs are. But I planted corn. Corn. Like, I'm going to get, like, harvest stocks of corn in my backyard. I planted corn. I planted cucumbers. I planted watermelons. We planted peppers and tomatoes and all this other stuff. The seed was good. The ground wasn't. The ground wasn't good. My harvest was terrible. Because I didn't understand that the ground was bad until I started talking to people about the importance of the ground you place your seed in. The ground of God, and where God tells you to plant it, that's good ground. Whatever God's tilling and tending as the gardener, that's good ground. And when you plant good seed in good ground, you get great return. You get great harvest. Bad seed in good ground, no harvest. Bad seed in good ground, no harvest. Good seed in good ground equals harvest. I had an opportunity this week to spend some time with my daughter. You guys know I've been missing her. So I had an opportunity to go visit her abroad. And I'll tell you what I learned in a week. As a culture, I love America. It's the greatest place in the world. There's no place like it. But as a culture, I think we got to rethink some things. We got to rethink some things as people. See, over there, that whole siesta thing is real. No joke. Like, you don't work 15 hours a day. You don't work, you know, from morning till night and don't talk to your family and get up in the morning and do it again and then, you know, then take the weekend and then say, well, I worked all week, so I won't go to church. And we don't know that. They do what is needed, but family is so focused. The simplicity of life is unbelievable. That freaked me out, by the way. You don't eat lunch till about 1, 2 o'clock. And then our host mom, Lucia, who's like a real mom and grandma to my daughter, it's like, oh, we siesta now. I'm like, what? It's like, oh, we go lay down for an hour or so. That was just weird. That was just weird to me, you know? Because you don't eat dinner till 9, 10 o'clock at night. Now, that was even weirder. Like, I eat dinner at 4:30. Like, at 4:30, like, we're just still in siesta. So I think we can learn some things about the pace of things, the importance of things in our lives, family and church. Do you know I went a whole week and didn't see one pickup truck? Everything's like small car. The shower, by the way, my shoulders touched. I had to lift my arms to turn in it. It was unbelievable. But sometimes we take the complexity of everything and link it to even our faith. The Bible's simple. The Bible's full of truths and promises that we just have to dive into and begin to peel them back like an onion to get to the core of it and embrace the core and begin to ingest the core of the truth of the biblical meanings behind them and then walk them out. Let me read this to you. Luke chapter 6. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over. Will men give unto you? For with the measure you use it, it will be measured unto you. Give and it will be given unto you. Good measure pressed down. Now in Malachi, the Lord's talking here and he's talking about tithes and offerings. In verse 8 it says, Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, how have you robbed me? In the tithes and the offerings. You are cursed with the curse, your whole nation, for you're robbing me. See, there's no blessing in robbing God. There's no blessing in robbing God. I love what our elder, soon to be ordained minister, who had a prophetic word spoken over him when he was a teenager, Scott, he says, God can do more with my 10% than I can do with my 90%. Come on. It goes on, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the window of heaven and pour out you a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that it will not destroy the fruit of your ground, the vines of your field, nor fail to bear fruit, says the Lord of hosts. Father, thank you for your word. God, continue to anoint it, speak the truth and reality, bring revelation knowledge to us this day in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated if you're standing. So let me jump into this law of sowing and reaping and what we plant and what we receive, but we're called to be givers. We're called to be investors. But I think there's three areas that we need to really focus in on our giving and in our investing. And these three areas are simply this: our homes. We need to begin to invest back into our houses, into our families, into our children, into our grandchildren. I spoke with someone today. We were talking about work. He says, well, the most important thing, and he says, and I mentioned his job, and he's like, no, it's my wife and my grandkids and my kids. And that's such a concept that we have to focus in on. We need to invest back into our house. I believe sometimes we focus too much and invest on everything else around us, and our home suffers. And if we're going to be givers and investors, are we giving back to our children? Are we giving back to our are we giving to our wives or to our husbands or to our grandchildren or to our parents, our grandparents, our aunts and uncles? Are we investing in them? Are we giving what we can to them? Another place would be our communities. I heard this said years and years ago, and I even say quite a bit. Our community is so important, and we need. It said that for the church, if we don't focus in outside of these four walls, the American church will close, because God is a God that talks about, we talked about missions and sharing the gospel. Go ye therefore. We have to put a focus in on our communities, our neighbors. You don't need to know your whole neighborhood. Just know maybe your surrounding neighbors, or get involved in a community thing. Are you investing where you live? I hear a lot of people complain about where they live, yet they invest nothing into where they're living. Invest in where you're living. If you have children, invest. You coach a team, you know, because I'm going to talk about what do we invest. We invest our time, our talents, and our money. Coach a team. Volunteer for this. Volunteer at the school. Volunteer at a soup kitchen. Volunteer here at the food pantry. It's in the community, but it's also in the church. So we have to invest in our community. And then the third place is we have to invest in the church. Our time, our talents, and our finances. This is what God's called to happen. A gathering of believers. Some are still a little nervous about the winds and the snow coming. I didn't know all that stuff that was coming. And so those who are with us here, but those who are usually here with us, you know, this is God's plan, that we would corporately gather to worship him in spirit and truth, in the spirit of unity, not disunity, unity, to hear what he would speak to us, that we then can then impact those who walk in these doors and those when we go into the community and then back to our homes. So we're investing our time, our talent, and our finances. And so we need to understand that. Time, that we would say, you know what, Pastor, I just don't have time. You know, I work, and I got this, and I got that, and I got this. And so I really, I've had this conversation with myself many times. Then I went to Google. I love Google. 3,600 seconds in an hour. 86,400 seconds in a day. 31,536,000 seconds in 1 year. So out of my 31 million seconds that I have of my life in one complete year, I have to come to the realization I have a few seconds to spare to invest and to give into a younger generation, into an older generation, into my community, into my church, into wherever God's leading me on the mission field or wherever it may be. I have the time. And so I have to, me personally, I have to stop saying, well, I don't have time. I do have time. It's just that I'm not investing it properly. And God's saying, listen, if you're going to be radical and you're going to be a believer, you have to begin to invest some of your time into your family, into your community, into your church. Here's how he would say it to me. Yo, really? We've had this conversation multiple times, Tommy. This is how he would talk to me. I'm like, yeah, but God, he's like, there's no buts. I've given you 31,500,000 seconds a year. And you're going to tell me that you don't have time? How much football did you watch on Sunday? Lord, why did you have to go there? Right? Lord, why did you go there? Why there? We have the time. And we have the talents as well. Can I tell you, I am sitting, or standing, you are sitting in a gathering of believers that are multi-talented. That God has gifted you in some way, shape, or form. Gifted you in multiple ways. Gifted you, some of you might be crafty. And I don't mean crafty in a negative way. I mean crafty in the sense that you make crafts. You're good, you're artistic, and you have that ability. Some of you can play an instrument, can sing. Some of you are good business people. You have a business sense about you. Some of you may own a business. Some of you can go on and on and on how each of you have a different gift and talent. The thing is is God is asking for a generation this time in this time frame, not of age when I say generation, but a generation of church to rise up and say, God, I'm going to give you my time, but I'm also going to invest my gifts and my talents into whatever you want me to invest them in. Because see, there's a young boy who has a single mom who works three jobs and can barely pay the rent now, and he really wants to learn how to play the guitar, and you are an amazing guitar player, drummer, singer, or whatever it may be, or a computer, whatever it may be, and she can't afford $45 an hour or half-hour lessons, but you can walk up and say, you know what, the Lord led me to tell you this. I can do this, and I would love to invest into your son or your daughter 30 minutes a week for the next 6 months to help that child understand how to play the instrument. Someone's, that's where you yell, amen. See, because this is what God's calling us to do. Invest and give. Invest and give into people's lives, into the kingdom, into the church. You're talented. You're gifted. And you have time. We all have time. We all waste time. Listen, we all... Procrastinators in the house? Any procrastinators in the house? That's wasting time. Did you do that? Yeah, hon, I got it. Honey, I got, no, did you, an hour later, hey, did you get that done? Oh, yeah, babe, I'll get it later, babe. I got it, don't worry. Next day, I totally forgot. No, I was wasting time because I was too focused on something else. And so we have time and talents to give. And then we have finances. Now, this is where some of you are going to get a little weird on me. You're already clenching up. Oh, Pastor, money. Yes, money. Money's okay. As long as it's not your God. Money's okay as long as you don't worship it. Nothing wrong with money. Money's not evil. It's the attitude that we take from it, the desires that we have for it, how it's used can be used for evil. But money in itself is not bad. It's just what's used as a commodity for exchange here in culture. And when you go other places, it's really weird because they got euros and pounds and you got loonies and toonies, and I'm just like, whoa. I got a pocket full of change, and it's really their dollars and $2 and whatever. I'm like looking, I'm like, no bills in this place? So evil, money's not bad. So don't get wigged out about that. It's the love when it overcomes everything else in life, even our worship of God. That's where it becomes an issue. But God says, listen, you have time and talent to give, but I also need you to give some finances. I need you to bring it to the storehouse. Don't rob me from what I blessed you with. See, when I talk about the tithe, I want us to understand that really everything that I have, I'll take it from my point of view. Everything I have isn't mine. It's God's. As a child, it's God's. It's not mine. You know what I am with it? I'm a steward of it. And God watches how I steward it. I know this word's in season. I meet with pastors every week, and there's about six of us that meet. And we're talking about like what we're preaching and what's going on in church and stuff. And four of the six pastors are in the midst of a stewardship series. And last week, they were all talking about giving and the importance of sowing and reaping. So I know this word's in season. Some of you never even heard me preach about money before because I don't preach about money. But we have to if we're going to build our foundation properly. And so it's not mine, it's God's. And what God says is when you come to the storehouse, I want you to look at it as not as an obligation, not as being forced, but I want you to come willingly. I actually want you not only to come willingly, but joyfully. Come happy that you're going to release it, because you know once you release it and sow it into the ground, there's a harvest attached to it for life. And so it's a mindset, and that he wants us to understand that it's not about serving the money, but it's about serving God. And God will use whatever is needed to bring the blessing and the harvest in whatever area that we have, but we have to learn to release it and let go. Do you ever go to the beach and pick up sand and like open your fingers and it just flows through? That's what God wants us to do with everything that he's given us. Have an open hand. So as it comes in, you're blessed by it, but then it goes back out and the kingdom is blessed and people are blessed and God, and we're being faithful and obedient and willingly coming before him and worshiping through him through that. And so understand that when we talk about the tithe, because the tithe means 10%. Tithe means 10%. And so the tithe is actually 10% of the first fruits of what you bring in.
See, I'm teaching you this. This is a principle that we need to talk about. It's 10% of what you bring in. So basically, what it is, it's a dime on a dollar. That's the tithe. It's a dime on a dollar, 10%. Don't check out on me, please, today. It's a dime on the dollar. And so what he's saying is, bring the tithe, first 10% into the storehouse and come in joyfully, hands open, not feeling, you're obligated or dragged down to the platform. See, I'm telling you all this because you have a choice. Just like salvation, just like receiving the Holy Spirit, just like your spiritual gifts of releasing them, you have a choice to practice this, to put it into practice, to put it into your everyday life. You choose to or not to. That's your choice. So I'm not going to, I don't want you to feel guilty. I don't want you to feel like I'm forcing you. I'm teaching you a principle that I've learned that's worked in my life, in my family's life, and many people that I know in this ministry. And so that's what the tithe is. It's, and what I love about it is like I was saying, it says that we're to bring it the first fruits. Even Proverbs says, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of your increase. Now, I know if anyone got direct deposit, Friday is the first fruits of our increase, right? First Friday or every other Friday, first fruits of our increase. He says, so honor him with that. He says, bring it to the storehouse. And so understand this, as we tithe, what happens in the process of tithing and as we give of our substance, it's giving provision. When you bring it to the storehouse, which is the church, it's giving provision for the work of God in the church. I want to share something that maybe some people don't understand. This whole ministry, this whole stuff that we do from the kids to the 100,000 meals a year is done through donation, and our food pantry gets a couple grants. Government pays for nothing for us. We everything that we do is done by people who give, who invest in the church. And so the tithe is bringing into the storehouse provision for this house. So the heat, the electric, the kids in the back, those beautiful rooms, the curriculum, all that is provided through a tithe. The snow plows that come, it's not cheap to have this lot plowed. The grass cut, it's all provided through tithe. So you're providing the church the ability to do what God's called the church to do in the community, to outreach, to go, to share the gospel, to lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to teach and raise up the children like we're called to do in the back, but then to do outreaches too, where we can say, hey, come and be a part of this. At no charge, we want to love on our neighbors. When we tithe, we're providing God the resources to take the church and be an impact in our community. It also gives us the ability to honor God, to give proper honor to God for those things that he's doing in our lives. It allows us to express a reverence. It allows us to express honor and worship. And even through our obedience to God, acknowledging that all that we have comes through him. It's kind of like when I did the message on the communion elements, that we should recognize them when we're doing it. When you come down, we should realize that, God, I thank you for my seed. I thank you for my tithe. I thank you for my offering. God, I thank you that as I sow it into the storehouse, that we as a church family are going to be able to impact our community. And God, I do this because I honor you, because I have reverence and love and compassion and care so much about you because you are my Lord. See, this is how we have to look at it when we bring our tithe in. And then what it does is it gives you and I the ability to see the faithfulness of God, how he comes through. He says in Malachi 3, test me. Test me now, and I will pour out a blessing to you. So in our obedience and our trust of God, when we're testing him like he says, when the harvest begins to come in. Now remember, the harvest is at a different time for everybody. God's never too early. God's never too late. God's always right on time because he has the best interest at heart in his believers. And so when the harvest comes, we're like, God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. Thank you for your faithfulness. And even though sometimes it looks like, there's no way he's going to make it. This isn't going to work. All of a sudden, something happens sometimes. You ever have that happen? I had that happen one time. We were doing conferences, my wife, and we were sowing seed every night, and we knew where we were at. It was in between pays, and the Lord sowed something on my heart to give to the speaker. And I'm like, okay. So, I share it with my wife, and she says, I was sensing the same thing. But we knew if we wrote the seed check, that it would really be short for us during the week. And so, but we knew we both were stirred by God to do it. So we wrote it and we put it in and we went home. A few days later, in the mail there's a letter and an envelope. And the Lord just wanted me to send you this because I was sensing that, you know, he wanted me to bless you this week with this. And it was what was written in a little bit more. That's how God works. That's how God works. I stood at college one year, and my first year at ORU, at Oral Roberts University. And they knocked on my door, and they're like, yo. Because the IRA thought he was cool, and he really wasn't. And I could take him, by the way. And so I answered, you know, I walk up, tie-dye shirt. I'm like, what's up? Because I didn't want him to come in my room. Because I start snooping. I'm like, what? He's like, your money's due. I'm like, my money? He goes, yeah, I got a letter here that you got to pay the rest of your tuition, you know, by tomorrow, or I got to collect your key and you got to move off campus. I'm like, are you kidding me? He's like, no. So we had this little conversation. So I call my mom. I'm like, Mom, first, what everyone would do in that situation, I call my mom. Mom! It's like after I got married, the first time I got sick, my wife goes, what do you want? I'm like, my mom, call her. So I'm like, Mom, we know that I'm supposed to be here. We know that this is part of God's plan. But they're knocking on the door, and they're saying that if I don't have this money by tomorrow morning, I have to turn my key and I have to leave campus, and I'm going to be de-enrolled. What are we going to do? We prayed about it, and we hung the phone up. Next day, my mom calls, because we still had a day, and says, go ahead and write a check. The money was put into your account. Someone blessed us with what was needed for you to be able to stay there. See, it's the principle, because when you sow seeds, it may not be immediately on the harvest. It may be a year, it may be 2 years. And my seeds that I sow also affect my family, also affect this church, also affect your life. So the seeds that I'm sowing also benefit those that are around us. Understand that. And then what it does is it shows that, God, you are faithful. I thank you for your faithfulness, God. I thank you for it. And so consider the promises attached to it. He says, I will open the windows of heaven. We will experience the Lord's provision in such a great way. Divine, firsthand release and movement of God doing something. He's going to peel back the windows of heaven. And when they're peeled back, verse 10 says, I will pour out to you a blessing until it overflows. I always tell you my McDonald's story. I hate when you get a 6-piece McNugget and you get 5. Oh, it frustrates me. I love when I get a 6-piece and I get 10. It's a blessing. Why? Because the fryer had an overflow of McNuggets for Pastor. And so the reality is it should only be 6. But when you get 10, it's an overflow. See, God doesn't say, I'm going to give you just this amount. He says, but when I peel back heaven because of your faithfulness and your giving of your time and your talents and your tithe, he says, I will peel back the windows of heaven and I will pour out into your life an overflow. I want an overflow. Anyone want an overflow? I want an overflow. I don't want just enough. My God is not a God of just enough. My God is a God of abundance. My God is a God of overflow. My God is a God of blessing. And heaven's opening up and pouring into people's lives. See, that's the promise attached to that scripture. And he says that, and then he says this. He says, I will rebuke the devourer in your stead. I will rebuke the devourer in your stead. If you ever had a garden's number one nightmare, bunnies and deer. They eat everything. They eat your bushes, they eat your produce, they eat what I thought was going to be corn stalks. They eat everything. But listen, I use that example to say this. So what do you do if you have a garden? You go and you buy some chicken wire over at the feed supply store, and you get some steaks and you put chicken wire, and then you get real, real classy, and you get some old tin cans and some old pie things, and you put them on the chicken wire. And when the wind blows, it makes all these noises, right? So the animals want to come in your garden. They get all freaked out. And they run away. Why? That's protecting the devourers from your harvest. That's a natural example of what God does. God releases the guardian angels. God releases the Holy Spirit around us, that when the devourer comes in and wants to kill, steal, and destroy any part of your life, the Word says that God protects us. He protects us from the devourer. Somebody with me? Amen? It's all attached to it. It's all attached to giving and investing in the kingdom of God, in people, in everything else that He's called us to do. So, you know, you can do it or you don't have to do it. It's your choice. Like I said from day one, from the beginning of this message, it's up to you. I know how it's been working in my life. And so, let me close with this. Dave, you can come up. Let me close with this. Caution. Caution. Beep, beep, caution. Just as sowing brings a harvest, refusing also brings an outcome. Understand that. Verse 8, open it up and says, why are you robbing and cheating me? When we sow, it has an outcome, but when we withhold, it has an outcome. See, because we may live in an unbelief that the whole sowing and reaping thing isn't real, God's word is only real in certain areas and not others, or we just have an unbelief in it, or we just don't have gratitude of what we have, and we're not willing to release it to bless other people, or maybe we just, you know, are just rebellious against what God wants us to do. Well, in that process, we need to understand that when we live that way, and we live clinched, and we live unwilling to sow, and we live unwilling to invest and give in our homes, in our communities, in our church, in our time, in our talents, in our tithe, we may miss out on some of God's release. You may miss out on it. You may miss out on it. You also may experience some of those effects of disobedience. If God keeps calling you to do it, we keep ignoring Him, there's an effect to that. We may just step out from underneath the umbrella of God's protection and anointing and all the stuff by being and living in unbelief and rebellion and ingratitude. And so don't do that. Let me encourage you not to do that. Do what the Word says. Test them. Test them. I want to challenge you, like I've challenged myself and my family. Because I always tell you, I won't do something from here that I won't speak it from here if I'm not doing a part of it. My wife and I have had some dialogue over the last couple of weeks that we want to make 2019 the biggest year of giving. Not just money. I just mean giving. Giving of our time. Giving of our substance, giving God our finances, and even sowing finances into other people in other areas, missions, whatever is needed. And so we had that conversation. Like any good conversation goes, I say it, and then she'll correct it, and we go with whatever is spoken. Look, Tracy, I think we should, yep, got you, baby. We're doing it, you know. But I want to challenge you that today, as we close in just in a couple seconds here, that you would say, you know what, God, I want to make 2019 my biggest year of giving. I want to invest some of my 31,546 or whatever it is seconds. I want to invest it in somebody else. I want to take my talent and I want to teach my talent to a young person. I want to call someone who may be a shut-in and use my talent to bless them. I want to use my talent at my church. I want to get involved. And if you can smile and you're friendly and you're outgoing, you know what? You want to invest your talent. You know, you want to invest it in greeting. I'm going to put you right between the two glass doors and everyone walks in like, well, good morning. Well, and we're going to use your talent there. You want to invest it in church. And you know what? I want to take my finances and I want to bless people. But before I bless people, I want to bring it to the God, because everything I have is from Him, so I'm going to bring my tithe to the storehouse, because my church is going to explode and we're going to make a huge impact in our community, and we're going to continue to do what is necessary by preaching the gospel uncompromised in any way, shape, or form. We're going to have healing services. We're going to have water baptisms. We're going to have people filled and slayed in the Holy Spirit. We're going to have our young kids going to school talking about the scriptures, because we taught them the biblical principles in the back. We're going to have a worship team that has 15 people back on it again. You know, these guys are doing an awesome, amazing job, aren't they? Our guys that come every week. And we're investing, because that's going to grow. We're investing. So we're going to invest, God, whatever you want us to invest. Now, it's your choice, and I would encourage you to be a part of it.
make 2019 the biggest year of giving. Radical believers invest and they give. Let me leave you with this and I'm going to pray with you. We can count on three things. God will cause a harvest to our seed. Count on it. Read throughout the Bible. There's a harvest on the seeds that you plant when God tells us to plant them and where to plant them. God is never early nor late. He's always on time. And the third thing is our harvest will yield a crop of what we sow. So make sure that what we're sowing is the right seed in the right soil to receive the right harvest. Amen? So refuse to be discouraged when the harvest isn't there when you think it should be, because God knows the perfect timing. Keep your faith alive and active. When you don't see something happen physically, realize that in the behind, God's working and moving. He's working and moving in the behind the scenes. And keep on giving, keep on investing, because harvest will come. It's guaranteed from God. Amen? Let's stand to our feet real quick. I want to pray with you. Did you learn something today? All right, all right. It's a principle that I believe we need to stand on. Now it's between you and God. I did my part. I delivered it in a lovingly, kind, exciting, hopefully fun way. If you're offended, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry, because God's word's offensive to those who are unbelievers. And you understand how I say that, right? Because sometimes we got to talk about things we don't like to talk about. We got to talk about things we don't like to talk about. I mean, that's just the way it is. But I do know one thing, that giving and investing works. It works. It works so much. Let me close with this story. My daughter, her house mom, Lucia, she's a giver. When we went there, she said, oh, no, you stay in my house. And they buy apartments. They don't have homes. They all live in high-rises and small apartments and stuff. Like I told you, literally, I couldn't turn in the shower. It's small. But she wanted us to be a part. She's a giver. She's going on what she calls holiday. We say vacation. She goes, I'm going on holiday. And so, where are you going on holiday, Lucia? I'm going to Cuba. Oh, you're going to Cuba on holiday. Oh, yeah, I'm going. Look, you Americans, you're crazy. Look at the size of your suitcase. Look at the size of my suitcase. I'm going longer, and it's half of what you brought. She has a little suitcase. And she opened it up. She goes, but this is only my stuff. Little section. And then she peeled back half of it. And the other half, she goes, this is the giveaway. She pulled a big bag of pens and pencils, new and used and all different types. She goes, I'm taking these to the kids in Cuba because they don't have pens and pencils to write with. She started pulling out clothes. I want to give this to girls who need dresses. And she talked about sowing into giving, into investing in another country. And I'm going, oh my Lord, listen to her. Nothing was about her. She actually was sacrificing what she could have brought for herself and the enjoyment of things to invest in lives of someone else. I got so excited. And so let's give, amen? Let's invest, amen? Time, talents, tithe. Time, talent, tithe, home, community, church. Father, I thank you for this amazing family that is with us today. Father, you spoke a word that is so important for our foundation of being a believer. Father, about giving and investing not only in the kingdom, but also in other people and in our families, through our resources, through our time, and through our finances, through our talents. Father, let this word marinate within us. Teach us and continue to show us the importance of tithing and of giving back the way you want it to, God. We thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. We thank you for the opportunity of worship. Father, I would pray right now that you would keep, you would watch over, you would protect, and you would guard every person that is with us today. Give them traveling mercies. Let their time this afternoon as they spend with friends and family be of quality. Of quality, not necessarily quantity, but quality time, God. And always let your name be brought up in some way, shape, or form. Let your testimony of what you've done in their lives be released to them this day. Bless them with the blessings that you have for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap?